Well, here we are, Christmas 2020. Of all the Christmases that I have enjoyed throughout my life, and there's been a lot of them. In fact, well over 60 of them. I think Christmas of 2020 will probably be one of the most memorable Christmases that I'll ever have. On the one hand, as usual, we're still seeing all the advertising coming out and from every possible source and trying to get us to buy Christmas presents all the time, Black Friday and Cyber Monday and Cyber Week and all these kind of things. And we have, somehow, this is what's amazing, we have advertisers tracking us down online, somehow knowing what we want to buy before we even ask them. Did you ever notice that? It happens a lot. And we get more catalogs than we get mail in the around Christmas time. And we probably get more catalogs than we get mail throughout the whole year around this time. But what makes Christmas really different this year is the fact that we're getting all these mixed messages about how we should celebrate Christmas. People telling us how we should celebrate Christmas. How many people should we invite over? How many people should we allow in our house? Should we invite grandma and grandpa? Should we wear masks in our own house? Or should we even celebrate Christmas at all? I don't know if you know this, but yesterday in England, and I'm not joking, they canceled Christmas. No Christmas gatherings. No, they were going to allow up to 3 families in a house. They said, nope, nobody. No Christmas. I can't believe it. Talk about control. And the funny thing is that all these people who are telling us to do all these things, all these stringent things, are constantly being caught doing the very things they say we can't do. Did you notice that? All the time. As for me and my family, we are going to celebrate Christmas as we always have. I can't imagine giving up the one day a year that we set aside to honor the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about this. Maybe this will be the best Christmas ever. The truth is, maybe having our lives slowed down a little bit isn't all bad. Have you noticed that? I've had quite a few people tell me about how they have learned to enjoy spending time doing things with their kids. I had a young lady tell me just a week ago that she had 3 kids, and her youngest was doing driver's training. And she said, you know, let's go out and drive together. And they went driving, and then she says, hey, why don't we go drive around and look at the Christmas lights? And they were doing that, and she said, then she started crying, like just crying and bawling her eyes out. And her son says, what's wrong, Mom? And I got all choked up when she told me. She said, I realized that you're my last child, and I've never done this before. I've been so busy trying to raise you guys, doing all the work, a single mom, and working, doing a couple jobs, cooking, cleaning. She goes, I've never taken the time to just spend time just doing something that we didn't have to do. And that really hit me, you know, that. And I'm thinking, how many people have experienced that in our nation? So, you know, it's not all bad. We can, you know, there's more people, I think, that are eating home-cooked meals than ever. They say a lot that the baking aisle at the grocery stores has been running out like it never has, you know, for years and years. People are learning new hobbies. They've gotten into that, baking and exercising and walking and bike riding. And, you know, as always, it has a lot to do with our attitude. You know, we can choose to look at the glass half empty or half full. We can say this is the worst time ever, or we can make the best of it and enjoy how we can. And I think we can enjoy this Christmas as much as we want to. We just have to choose to do it. And most people, I'm sure, are still going to try to find gifts for the people they cut, love, and care about, you know, and still do the whole gift thing for Christmas. And I'm sure that most people that are buying the gifts are hoping that they will somehow be able to give a gift that's something that people will appreciate, that they'll be able to use, that it'll be a blessing to them. Because it's always nice to not only receive gifts, but to give gifts and see somebody that's blessed in the gift getting and the gift giving. It's both parts are good. And I think most of us, or many of us, still secretly hope every time there's a gift, it's going to be that gift that just sort of blows us away. I don't know what that could be, you know? I mean, honestly, I can't even think of it. But sometimes, you know, maybe somebody finds a gift that you just say, I can't believe you got me this. This is something, you know, I got it. It's the perfect gift. And, you know, when we were little kids, oh, this is what I wanted. It's just what I wanted. I mean, if you remember those times. Because we all love getting the perfect gift. Well, what I want to say is that there is a perfect gift. And that gift was bought for you, and it was already paid for 2,000 years ago. And it truly, truly is the gift that keeps on giving. God didn't have to look all over trying to figure out, you know, what would be the best gift for each of us. God is our creator, and when he created us, he made each one of us unique. And he gave each one of us a multitude of talents and abilities and giftings. And the cool thing is that no matter how different we are, in each one of us, he designed something that in our heart, a place in our heart, a spot in our heart that is designed, is made to receive the most amazing, the most wonderful, the most precious, the absolutely perfect gift. And the perfect gift that I'm talking about is none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There could be no more wonderful gift to be able to get than to have Jesus. I want to go back to the first Christmas and see exactly what our Heavenly Father has done for us in the preparation, the preparations that he has made so that we could receive that perfect gift. In the book of Luke, in chapter 2, starting in verse 1, it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. So he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, what angels always say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. God did something special here. Something that doesn't normally happen when a baby's born. Normally, all these things don't happen. All the stars don't align and angels don't come down and all the different things happen. But God was intimately involved in making sure that this birth went off without a hitch, that his plan would unfold. And so he did a lot of preparation, and he had a major role to play in the way it all worked out. So what we find out here is that this baby was not born to just Joseph and Mary. Notice what he told what the angels told the shepherds. They said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the King. Imagine if you just had a baby. We've had some brand new babies in here. Imagine if you had this baby, you just got home from the hospital, or maybe you're still even at the hospital and some shepherds come in. Or maybe the cashier from your grocery store or some of your co-workers, and they come around and they say, that baby was born for us. And you're saying, what? What do you mean a baby is born for you? This is my baby. No. That's my baby too. That's what happened to Mary and Joseph. They were told right there that this baby was not just for them. And sure, it started out that way when he was just a little baby boy, but as time went on, Jesus was given over for everyone. Wouldn't that be weird, though, to have that happen to you? Find out that your baby was for everybody? You had to share that baby with the whole world? Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. To all of us, to us. That child was born for me. That child was born for you. Mary is long, long, long gone. Joseph is long gone. That baby was born for me. What other baby would ever fit in that kind of a situation? But Jesus wasn't just born to Mary and Joseph. According to God, it says he was a gift for people of all time. And that's really the true meaning of Christmas, that the reason we celebrate, that's the message, is this, that this baby that was born, that we celebrate the birth of Jesus, was the birth of a Savior for us. And that's the gift. That's the gift from God, the perfect, the precious, the wonderful, the amazing, the greatest gift that we could ever get. One, the greatest gift that could ever be given. God did it. He gave his one and only Son. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for this indescribable gift. God calls it a gift in his word. When did you ever get a gift from someone that was so awesome, so amazing, that it was impossible to describe? Can you imagine that? Something that's beyond words, beyond comprehension. You just can't get it. You can't just bring it in. You just can't grasp how enormous, how significant, how wonderful it is. And that is exactly what happened with Jesus. He is an indescribable gift. And the cool thing is, the great thing is that the closer we get to him, the better we get to know him, the more we find out just how amazing a gift he is. How beyond our comprehension he is. I'm happy to say that God isn't like me. You wouldn't believe how many times, not so much lately, but in the old days, I would be out on Christmas Eve looking, hunting for that last gift that I still hadn't picked up. I know Carol could remember probably a lot of those. And some were for her, some were for the kids, some were for somebody else, but I'd be out there literally on Christmas Eve driving around looking for that gift. Well, God didn't put his gift together at the last minute like I did. The truth is, God had planned to give us this gift before we were even born. He planned it even before the foundations of this world were laid, or before the heavens and the earth were even formed. That's really pre-planning. God made all kinds of preparations to make sure that this indescribable gift would be received by mankind. He prepared the heart of Mary, his mother. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin, pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of a greeting might this be? What are you doing here? What do you mean? What are you trying to say to me? Can you imagine that? But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. I'm still a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High of God will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left. Man, what an awesome young woman this is. What an amazing young girl. Innocent, willing, and wanting to please and obey God. Accepting this call upon her life that would be a very overwhelming call in many ways. She didn't know yet. Mary, did you know? No. She didn't know all this stuff. Alex sang that song, and I was thinking about that when I was putting together my message last night, and I was thinking, no, she didn't know all she would have to go through. I wonder how she would have felt. I know she still would have done it. But at that point, it was just like, wow, just having a baby coming from God, but knowing that your baby boy would grow up and be crucified on a cross. How would you like to think about that with your child? Her innocence and her obedience, everything that she was what God made her. So that when the time came, she would be willing to accept this job. It was all part of God's preparation. Mary was prepared from her parents, from their parents, all the way on down to bring about this young girl to become the mother of Jesus. God also prepared the heart of Joseph. Matthew 1:18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until after she gave birth to her son. And he gave him the name Jesus. How many men would willingly have accepted this situation? So you got Mary first, who takes on having this baby. Now you got a man who's planning on getting married to her, and all of a sudden he finds out that his bride-to-be is pregnant. a lot of men, a lot of lesser men, we can look at it that way, maybe would have walked away at that point. And maybe if it wasn't then, maybe it would have become an issue later and caused all kinds of problems. But once again, we see God's planning. We see how he prepared the heart of this man to receive Jesus as his son. God even prepared a witness to testify that this gift was conceived through God and it was a miracle of God. And he would be called by God to preach and prepare the hearts of people to receive Jesus. In the time of King Herod, there was a priest named Zechariah, and he and his wife Elizabeth, this was Mary's relative, she was told about, were faithful to God, but sadly, they never had any children, and now they were old and past childbearing age. And it tells us in Luke 1:8, starting in 1:8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as a priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple and burn incense. And when the time came for the burning of the incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid." Zechariah, these angels, they got to be fearsome. They have to tell everybody, don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So here we're talking, I'm sure you know by now, about John the Baptist. Someone who was sent now to proclaim. See, he was part of this preparation, this planning. So here he is now out there proclaiming that the gift is coming. God's gift to men, to mankind, is coming. That indescribable gift that we talked about in 2 Corinthians 9:15. Why does God call it indescribable? Because there is no one word. You couldn't come up with a word that could describe Jesus. Or there's no group of words. There's no paragraph. There's no book that can fully describe him. There's just too much. That's just the awesomeness, the wonder of God. And this gift of Jesus is incomparable. Nothing compares to Jesus. What could possibly compare to Jesus? What if God said, I'll tell you what, you give up Jesus. This is sort of what the devil was trying to do. You give up Jesus and I'll give you a whole city full of gold. I'll give you 1,000 worlds. I'll give you legions of angels. I'll give you anything you want, as many wishes as you want for the rest of your life. None of that or nothing in all creation would still compare to Jesus. The gift that we were given in Jesus is priceless. You can't put a price on knowing Jesus. Why? Because he's God. He's God. And because of his greatness and his power, his glory and his majesty, he's beyond priceless even. What could you ever give or trade for Jesus? You couldn't. He made everything. He owns everything. He gives every good gift. God gives every good gift to us. This gift is the most valuable, the most precious, the most essential gift we will ever get. And another good thing about this gift is because he was both God and man, he can truly understand everything that we go through. Did you ever have a gift that understands you? That knows everything that you're going through, that can sympathize with all your hurts and your grievances and your sorrows and your worrying or your upsets and all these different things? He's acquainted, it says, with sorrow and grief, pain and insult and suffering, as well as joy and peace and love and, unfortunately, death. He fully understands you. And he has promised to be there with you through everything that you go through. He's faithful. A faithful gift. The gift is priceless. Another reason is because of the amazing love that propelled this gift, that brought this gift to us, that opened itself up to be that gift for us. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave this gift. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." In Ephesians 3:18, Paul is praying that we may grasp how wide and long and high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Don't you appreciate a gift that somebody gives you when you know they gave that gift out of love? It doesn't even matter so much. You know, sometimes the gifts aren't really something maybe that you need or something that you can use, or maybe you don't even really care for it. But if you know that it was given because somebody loves you and wanted to bless you, that makes the gift a good gift, a wonderful gift. And this gift of Jesus was given. Just think of all the suffering that Jesus went through for you. The pain and the humiliation, the torture of the cross, because of the joy that was set before him. And the joy that was set before him was the joy that we receive when we receive the gift. He took on the burden of bearing all the sin. Not just our sin, but all the sin of the world. And he also took on the burden of being separated from his Father for a time because of that sin. That gift cost him a lot. Imagine if you bought a gift that cost you your life, your house, your car, your family, whatever, everything, because you wanted to bless somebody with a gift. That's what Jesus did. It cost him everything. And it's also priceless because of what it's accomplished. Millions upon millions upon millions upon hundreds of millions, and probably even well into the billions from all time, that have been rescued from a life of darkness, hopelessness, rescued from an eternity with no hope, without God and without hope. Who wants to be in that place? That gift shows us that God is more than willing and more than able to meet every single one of our needs. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" So this gift gives us, it will meet all of our needs. Every need that we would ever have can be found in Christ Jesus in some way that he can provide for. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work within us." That's Ephesians 3:20. Jesus has already rescued us from the power of sin that held us in bondage. He saves us from the fear of judgment. He saves us from the penalty of sin, which is eternal death. When he forgives us our sin, he washes us clean and makes us righteous before him and before our Father in heaven. Through him, through Jesus, through this gift, we become heirs of the kingdom. We become sons and daughters of the living God. We become part of his family. He fills us with the Holy Spirit. It gives us the power that we need to live a full life, a life for Him. And finally, the gift of Jesus is eternal. He's always there for us. Hebrews 13:5 says, "And God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." What's the usual lifetime of the gifts we buy? A lot of them, not very long. Some of them don't even make it through Christmas Day sometimes. Sometimes the good ones will last a year or two, and every once in a while one will last a long time, but eventually it too will pass away. But not this gift. This gift is eternal. What a wonderful, amazing gift our Heavenly Father has given us. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. It's like no other gift that you could ever receive. It brings us eternal joy. It brings us peace. I was thinking last night about hope. That's one of the things that this gift gives us. You know, right now there are so many people in our world that they don't have a whole lot of hope. They don't know what to put their hope in. They don't see their lives going anywhere. Right now there's people out there that they're sort of despondent. They're desperate, and they don't have the hope in Christ that we have. See, we can go through the same stuff as somebody else, but when we have Christ, we know that our future is bright. We have a joy that no one can take away. We have a hope that is a confidence in good things to come. A confident expectation of good things to come. That's what the word hope means in God's Word. A confident expectation. And this gift gives us hope. And best of all, this gift is made available to every single person. Everyone. To all who come to Jesus. To all who believe in Him. Whosoever. To all who open their hearts to Him. To receive them as their Lord and Savior. For you and me. For you, if you're watching and maybe you haven't ever gotten this gift. This gift is for you. Jesus, the perfect gift. The gift that truly keeps on giving. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Last thing I want to say about this gift is that this gift is shareable. They got those little things you can buy in the store now. They're lunches, Lunchables and shareables, things like that. You know, you can share your little lunch. Well, this gift is shareable. And you can share this gift with as many people as you want. You can give it away over and over and over. But instead of running out yourself, you end up getting filled up more and more. And in fact, the more you give out this gift, the more you get. Because the more you share the love of God, the more joy you get inside. The more fulfillment, the more blessed you are. You will never be more blessed in your whole life than when you share the Lord with somebody and they receive and you see them just excited about God and blessed and you see their life. That will bless you to no end. And the more you see it, the more you'll want to see it. So I would say make the most of every opportunity to share this gift as often as you can with as many people as you can. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You, Lord God. We thank You for this amazing, wonderful gift that You've given us, Lord God, this precious gift in Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank You for this day, which we call, we're celebrating our Christmas this day, but for this Friday, for Christmas, for the day that we celebrate the birth of Your Son, Jesus, the thing that started it all, that birthday that started this thing in motion, at least here on this earth. And we thank You for all the preparation that You did so that it worked, so that we all got this opportunity, and we thank You for bringing Jesus to us. We thank You for that person who shared Jesus with us. And Lord, I pray that all of us, many of us, would be able to share that gift with many others. Lord, we thank You for anyone, Lord God, that even right now maybe is thinking that they want this gift. And I pray, Lord God, that You would speak to them through Your Holy Spirit right now and give them the ability to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior right now. All you need to do is ask. Believe in Jesus and ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And it's as simple as that, and the gift is for you. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for all things in Jesus' name. God bless, and have a wonderful Christmas this week. Hope you all have a great Christmas. Amen. Hallelujah.